Take your Bible, if you would, and open it up to the book of Mark. Mark chapter number 12. When you find that, would you stand with me as we read the Word of God? Mark chapter 12. Look, if you would, down at verse number 13. And they send unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. And when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny that I may see it. And they brought it. And he saith unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. And Jesus answering said unto them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the good day that you gave to us today. Lord, thank you that we could top it all off by being here in this place tonight and fellowshipping together and rejoicing together and then opening your word and allowing your spirit to speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that tonight you would use the truth that we see to change our thinking and change our hearts and change our lives. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, here in Mark chapter 12, we didn't start at verse number 1, but you're familiar with the passage. In the first part of the chapter, Jesus gives the parable of the husbandman. And he goes through the whole story, and the owner of the vineyard sends a servant to collect the fruit, and the servant is beaten, and he sends another one, and that one is beaten, and he sends a third one, and the third one is killed, and many others are sent, some are beaten, some are killed, and it's ugly, and it just seems to be getting worse and worse. In verse number 6, he finally sends his only son, and they kill him. In verse number 9, the owner says he'll come and destroy the husbandman and give the vineyard to another. That's what precedes what we've just read. You get down to verse number 12, and the Pharisees and the people he's talking to know who and what he's talking about. He's talking about them. I mean, it's a thinly veiled story, and he's letting them know they are in serious trouble. And they don't appreciate that. It's hard to imagine that, isn't it? They don't appreciate his words. You know, quite often folks didn't appreciate the words of the Savior. Don't be upset and surprised and offended when people don't want to hear you say, well, the Bible says or Jesus said. They never have really cared much for what Jesus says. And these folks didn't either. And so now they are determined to get the people to turn against Jesus. And so the Pharisees, the religious folks, and the Herodians are a political group. So he's got the religious guys and the political guys all against him trying to trap him. Now that's a mess. When you've got the religious and the political working together, you know it's up to no good. It's always no good. And so they're setting a trap for him. And they're trying to get him to say something that will cause problems and cause trouble. And so they go through the whole scenario that we just read in verses 13 through 17. And they come asking what seems to be an innocent question. And they say, should we pay our taxes or should we not? Is it right? Is it wrong? What should we do? And when you get folks like that trying to trip you up, there's really never going to be a right answer unless you're Jesus. Amen? It's kind of like when the news comes to interview an independent Baptist preacher. Have you ever noticed that when the news interviews an independent Baptist preacher, it doesn't matter what he says or how he says it, he always looks stupid. That's not a coincidence. They do that on purpose. Amen? They twist it all around and they make you look stupid. And that's what they're hoping to do to Jesus. And they said, what should we do? Should we pay or should we not? And if he says pay, then those who are Israeli nationalists will be against him. And if he says don't pay, then he's in trouble with the law. And it seems like a tight spot. But he says to them in verse 16, whose image and superscription is on this coin? And they said, Caesar. And then verse 17 is what I want you to look at tonight. And Jesus answering said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. So, well, it's kind of a simple answer. Yeah, it's a simple answer. But there's a lot more to it than pennies and coins and taxes. There's a lot more to it than that. Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Well, the obvious application is that coin has Caesar's picture on it, so that's really his, and if he demands it, give it back to him. But the other side of the message is a little more, well, convicting. And that is to render to God the things that are God's. So the obvious question is, what belongs to God? What's his? What does he get? What does he require? What does he demand? What ought to be given back to him because it's his anyway? I mean, if that's true with the coin, and that's Caesar's, and it's his picture on there, and his superscription, and so he deserves to have it back, what then belongs to God? Well, there are a lot of things that belong to God. There are a lot of things. In Isaiah chapter 66, verse number 1, and by the way, in Acts chapter 7, verse 49, it says, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. The heavens belong to God. They're his. They are his dominion. They are his. They belong to him. In Genesis chapter 14, verse number 19, it says he's the most high God, possessor of heaven and earth. So we know from the word of God that the heaven is his. The earth is his. It belongs to him. That, by the way, is why I'm not terribly concerned about global warming. It's God's. Amen. It's God's. He'll take care of it. And if you know your Bible, when he's done with it, he's just going to destroy it all anyway. Amen? He's going to wipe it all out. And I'm not even going to be here at that point. Praise the Lord for that. And if you are, you ought to get that fixed. Amen? Listen, if all you have is this world, you don't have much, because it's not going to last forever. It's not. It's going to come to an end, and it's going to be an ugly end. And you'd better have a plan B. Amen? Something other than the dirt ball you're standing on. You better know the Savior and get ready for eternity. The heavens are his. The earth is his. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 26 and 28, it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It reiterates that in Psalm 24, verse number 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So not just the heaven, not just the earth, but the fullness thereof. In other words, everything in it. In 2 Chronicles chapter 29, turn to 2 Chronicles 29, because if I try to quote it to you, I'll misquote it, because I'm old. 2 Chronicles chapter number 29 and verse number 11. Look what it says down here. I'm in the wrong chapter. First Chronicles. See, I'm so old I can't even read my own writing. Oh, that's much better. Much, much better. First Chronicles chapter number 29, verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Now that's a pretty good list, isn't it? All that's in the heaven and in the earth is thine. And it goes through that which is physical and that which is spiritual, goes through the whole thing, the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty, right on down to the riches and the honor and the strength. It all belongs to God. But then it goes on further. If you go down to Leviticus chapter number 27 and verse number 30, it tells us that God told Israel the tithe of the land belongs to the Lord. It wasn't theirs. It was his. It says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. So there are there are physical concrete things that belong to God, and they should be given back to God. And then, if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse number 29, it says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. The secret things. So there are things that we don't know and that we can't see that belong to God. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Can I just tell you that there are things you're not going to know and you're not going to figure out in this life? You won't know them. You won't get an answer. And you can ask God why a million times, but you won't get an answer. And the secret things belong to the Lord our God. They're His. They belong to Him. And what He wants us to know, He's revealed to us right here in this book. Amen? He's revealed it to us so that we may go on and we may serve Him and honor Him. And as it says there in Deuteronomy 29, that we may do all the words of this law. I get annoyed with people who waste all their life on stuff they're not going to get a good answer to. Just move on. Amen? Just move on. If it's not spelled out in the Word of God, you can theorize all you want. Go ahead. You can come up with all the ideas you'd like. You can argue about whether or not we'll have belly buttons in heaven. Go ahead. But it's not in the Bible. Don't waste your life. Amen? Go right ahead. You can preach messages on it if you want, but I wouldn't if I was you. Don't waste your time on what's not in there. Amen? There are a lot of things you theorize about, and sometimes preachers, we're guilty of this, we'll sit around and toss out ideas, you know, and I read this, and what if that, and well, there are a lot of those, but if God didn't give us an answer, that's one of those things that belongs to God, and maybe He'll tell us in eternity, and maybe He won't. And either way, it doesn't matter, or He would have told us, amen? If it was going to change your life, whether or not you're going to have a belly button in heaven, God would have told you. Doesn't that make sense to you? Amen. Too many people spend too much time on the internet. It's their problem. And you can find any kind of weirdness on there you want. All claiming to base it on the Bible and all the rest. Listen, if it's not spelled out there in black and white, just keep your theorizing to yourself. Because you're going to look silly. Amen. Sooner or later, you're going to look silly. Just keep your theories to yourself unless you're sitting quietly with other theorizers. Then you can toss it back and forth and have a good laugh over it and have some coffee and go home. Amen? And don't worry about it. There are secret things that belong to the Lord. And if He wanted us to know them, He would have told us. It's that simple. He just would have laid it out and told us. There are things that belong to God. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse number 6 says, For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself. God had a people, Israel. God chose a nation. They were God's. They belonged to Him. Can I just shock you? They still do. I know, all of a sudden, just weirdness all over the place. And there's all kinds of strangeness popping up. And people are theorizing about how God is all done with Israel and it's all over for Israel and we're Israel now. We used to call it replacement theology. Herbert W. Armstrong, some of you old people like me, you remember the old nutcase. Worldwide Church of God. He was on TV, he was on the radio, that was his whole theory. It was wrong then, and it's wrong now. It hasn't gotten any better over the last several decades since he died, amen? It hadn't gotten any better at all, and it's still wrong, and it's still heresy. You are not Israel, I am not Israel, we're a whole different group, amen? We got our own deal going, but Israel is still God's chosen nation. And He's not done with them, and He has things for them in the future. It's not over. Listen, it belongs to Him. And thank God, He's also got another group. Amen? Titus chapter 2, verse 14. who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's us. Amen? Saved folks. Born again, redeemed, blood-bought, saved folks. What a wonderful blessing. You're not Israel. You're born again, blood-bought, redeemed, saved folks. And if that's not good enough for you, I'm sorry. Amen? If you want more than that, you take it up with God. Amen? You see, there are people that belong to God. He had the nation of Israel. He's got his chosen people, the saved, the redeemed, the born again, a peculiar people. And then it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, for you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Oh. So not only are we as born again, redeemed people God's, but our bodies belong to him as well. And our spirit belongs to him. Now, that means that I can't just do with my body whatever I choose because it's not really mine. It's his. And he deserves it. And it belongs to him. And I'd better take care of it. Amen? I can't just defile it any way that I want because it belongs to God. But not only does my body belong to God, my spirit belongs to God. That's what it said in that verse. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They belong to him. So not only do I need to physically do the right things and take care of things on a physical plane, but I need to make sure things are right spiritually. You may not have noticed, but you can do all the right things physically and have a foul, nasty spirit. But that belongs to God too. So should that not honor him as well? Should that not be given back to him as well? Yes, it should. In Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, it tells us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so our body belongs to him if we're saved, if we're redeemed, but our spirit belongs to him as well. So we should not only be right and do the right things, we should do those things for the right reasons and with the right motivation. You can do the right things with the wrong motivation. People do it all the time. It's called serving God in the flesh. And it's a dangerous, dangerous thing. Very dangerous thing. But all that is introductory information. Now I'm making you nervous, huh? I just wanted to get all that out of the way because all of that stuff really, really is obvious, is it not? Those are no-brainers. That's just clear, obvious. We would all be able to come up with that list and we could add some more stuff to it. But I want to go just a little more personal with you, okay? Because there are some other things that belong to God. And we have no business taking them. And we have no business using them for our own purposes and our own devices. Any more than we would the heavens or the earth or our body or anything else. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 94. Psalm 94. Verse number 1. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. That's interesting, isn't it? Who does vengeance belong to? Belongs to God, doesn't it? It means it's not yours. It's not mine. And we have no right to take it and use it. It's not ours. It belongs to God. But look what's going on here in Psalm 94. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? You see, the psalmist is looking around and he's seeing wicked men seemingly triumph and overcome good men. He's seeing wickedness prosper. And he's not seeing the wicked being punished for what they do. And he's a little frustrated. And he's a little annoyed. Do you ever feel that way? When you look around at the world and you watch the news for a little bit. And you think, God, why don't you just... Just for a few minutes, just for a few minutes, go back to the Old Testament and smite somebody, you know. Smite them. You know, like every time you see the congressman going into the Capitol, you say, this would be a good time, God, right now. Just, you don't feel that way, do you? It's because you're spiritual. No, you do feel that way sometimes. And sometimes you look at people and they've hurt you and they've said things and they've done things and they've offended you. And you say, God, why don't you just do something to them? Sooner or later, God, this is going to have to catch up with them. Why don't you just do it now? Yeah. And I'd like you to do it where I can see. I want to watch when they fall flat on their face in the parking lot. I want to be there, God. Please let me be there. Romans 12, verse number 19 says, avenge not yourselves. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. I submit to you that to take vengeance is to take that which it does not belong to you. It is quite literally to steal what belongs to God and use it for your own devices. Remember, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God's. He says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And you say, well, I'm gonna take care of this. What you're saying is, I'm gonna take that from God, and I'm gonna take care, I'm gonna handle this. And you've just stolen from God. And it is theft, just as if you'd walked up and broken into somebody's house. It is theft. And what you've just done is take yourself outside of the will of God for your life. And now you've made it less likely that God's going to send judgment on that person. Because you're going to do what you're going to do. And now God's going to have to deal with you. And they're probably going to get to watch it. That's the bad part. Amen? God does have a sense of humor. It usually ends badly. It really does. You see, it's just as much theft as if you were to take something else that belongs to God. If you take vengeance for yourself, you're stealing from God. But if you will give that back to God and say, Lord, this is not mine. This is not my place. Here, just take this. It's yours. Then what you are doing is lining them up in the sights of Almighty God to be dealt with in his way, in his time. And when he does, he will do it far better than you could have done it. Because he will do it justly, and he will do it righteously, and he will do it well. But not only does vengeance belong to God, I want you to go over to the book of Daniel, if you would. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter number 9. It's an amazing little verse. Verse number 9 of chapter 9. Because it gets, well, even more personal. Daniel chapter 9, verse number 9. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Not only does vengeance belong to God, but mercy and forgiveness belong to God. Now, that's what, you know what that means? That means I don't get to decide who gets those either. Ouch. I'd kind of like to decide who gets vengeance, but I don't get to do that. But I'm pretty sure I get to decide who deserves mercy. And forgiveness. Because I can withhold those. The problem is if I withhold those, I'm messing with something that doesn't belong to me. I'm messing with something that belongs to God.
If I refuse to show mercy and if I refuse to forgive, I am stealing something that belongs to God and using it for my own purposes. Just as surely as if we went out and robbed the bank and used it to build a new church building.
Well, that God would honor it because it's for the church.
No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't. Because you're stealing. Any more than he would honor me not showing mercy or forgiveness just because I didn't want to. You see, there are some people I don't think need mercy. I'd rather see them get vengeance. Does that shock you? But you probably know some people like that too. That if it came right down to it, you'd rather see them get vengeance than mercy. But just stop and think with me for a minute. There was a day in your life before you became perfect when you were lost and you were on your way to hell. And God showed you mercy. You know what you deserved? You deserved vengeance. You deserved judgment. You deserved an eternity in the lake of fire. That's what you deserved. And God chose to show mercy. That's pretty amazing. That really is terribly amazing. In Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, it says, "It is of our Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." It's of our Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. What we deserve is hell. What we deserve is destruction. What we deserve is anything but the mercy of God. And yet, tonight, here we sit, recipients of the mercy of God. And then we get to thinking that we can dole it out as we see fit. Well, he needs it. She needs it. They don't really deserve it. They need to prove themselves for a while before I show mercy over there. What if the night you got saved, God had said, "Oh, no. I'm going to watch you for about a year. And you come up to the right standard, and then maybe I'll save you." Boy, if he'd done that, most of us never would have gotten saved, would we? It just wouldn't have worked. And yet we find ourselves being guilty of the same thing. Unto our God belong mercies and forgivenesses. Listen, I don't get to choose who gets mercy and forgiveness. I don't necessarily like that, but I'm glad when it worked in my favor. Amen. So I'm glad that God sees it differently than I do. I'm glad he does. Because if it were up to somebody like me, things would be ugly. They'd be ugly. Because I wouldn't even have had a chance to get saved. Nevertheless, would anybody else? There'd just be no hope at all. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 19, God said, "I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." I don't get to choose. You don't get to choose. God chooses to show mercy. To give mercy and forgiveness to whom I wish is taking something that belongs to God and using it for my own purpose. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 32, it says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." I don't get to decide who gets mercy. I don't get to decide who gets forgiveness. But you know, if we forgive him, you know how he is. He's going to turn right around and do it again. Do you think when God saved you, he was laboring under the delusion that you would never sin again? Really? Is that what you think? Because he's smarter than that. As a matter of fact, he knew that within just a few minutes after you were saved, you most likely would sin again. I mean, it was just a matter of time, and it probably wasn't much time. And if it took you a whole day, you were the exception. Really? And the truth is, since you've been saved, we said it last night, since you've been saved, you've done plenty of stupid stuff, enough stuff to earn you hell.
Without question. And God knew all of that the day he saved you. And he forgave you, not because you deserved it, but because Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sin. For Christ's sake, he forgave you. And that's just how God is. And yet, we think that we have the right to withhold forgiveness when it doesn't even belong to us. That's one of the... Can I just be blunt with you tonight? This is Saturday. There's nobody here but us, right? That's one of the horrible, damnable things about Catholicism. It is. You have priests and popes and all the rest who believe they can forgive sin. That's ridiculous. You know why? Because forgiveness belongs to God. They don't even have a right to say they can forgive sin. They're stealing something that belongs to God, aren't they? By saying, well, you do this and this and this and you can be forgiven. That's an abomination. And so is it when it's done by a Baptist. Isn't this fun? Amen. Well, you do this and this and this and this, and then maybe I'll forgive you. Well, who do you think you are? Are you the Pope? Probably not. You're not communist enough. Amen. I'm smiling at you. You can't get mad at me if I smile at you. But when we withhold something that doesn't even belong to us, we are putting ourselves in the place of God and we are stealing from God. And we don't have a right to steal that which belongs to God. To our God belong mercies and forgivenesses. And when we withhold mercy and forgiveness, you know what we're really doing? We're taking out vengeance. And that belongs to God as well. And we put ourselves in the place of God, and that always ends badly. It always does. It always ends with our own humiliation and our own looking foolish and all the rest, because God doesn't appreciate it when we steal that which belongs to him. As a matter of fact, there's a question that I just want to put in your mind before we finish tonight. And it's a direct quotation from the Word of God. It's found in Malachi chapter 3, verse number 8. And it's just a question. It says this: will a man rob God? Oh, you know what it's talking about? It's talking the tithes in Israel and all that. But there are a lot of other things that belong to God. Will a man rob God? Let me just rephrase it. Will you rob God? If you're not giving him yourself as a living sacrifice, you're robbing God. If you're showing vengeance, you're robbing God. If you're refusing mercy and forgiveness, you're robbing God. And you can study it out if you want, but God never appreciated that, and he still doesn't. So tonight, I just want to put that little thought in your mind. There are some things that belong to God. And so let's render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but let's not fail to render to God the things that are God's. Because when we take the things that belong to God into our own hands, what we're saying is, I don't trust you to do right with what's yours. And that's a foolish thing to say, because what God does is always right. He may not do it the way we would do it, but thank God for that, or there'd been no hope for any of us. Let's stand together and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. We could be here tonight. Lord, I pray that these simple thoughts would be an encouragement and a challenge to us. Lord, I pray you'd help us to search our hearts tonight. Well, we know that the heaven is yours, the earth is yours. We know that the nation of Israel was yours. We know that we as redeemed people are yours. We know all that. But God, help us not to put ourselves in your place and steal other things that belong to you and think that we have the right to dole them out at our pleasure. We're just vessels to be used by you. And God, I pray that we would tonight determine in our hearts that we are going to give back to you what belongs to you. And we're going to trust you enough to just leave those things in your hands. We'll thank you for all that you do in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Esther.